Please welcome Dan Schulman. Hi, yeah. Dan.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Good. Nice to get off the schneid. Five-game slide. They win 3-2 in extras, those Toronto Blue Jays, and they mixed up the lineup, which was very interesting. What are your thoughts?
I thought it was very interesting. Three runs in 11 innings. I don't think it helped anything, to be honest with you. And I completely get them mixing it up. I mean, when something's not working, for as long as something hasn't been working, you got to try something new. But I don't think mixing up the lineup is going to change it. The guys, I don't know what's going to trigger and make these guys hit better. The reason they won last night is Estrada was great for 8, Osuna was great for 2, and Joe Biagini, what a story this guy's turning into slowly but surely. He's becoming an important guy on the staff. He was great in the 11th inning. But in terms of what ails the offense, I didn't see a whole lot of difference last night.
Yeah, Biagini's an interesting sort, isn't he? I mean, we've heard all the interviews, and we know that he's kind of out there and is on his own planet. But you can't argue with his under 1 ERA. It's approaching 0.5 or 0.69, I believe. And George and I were talking about it this morning, and he brought up a good point. Is he maybe in the running and as far as comfort zone for Gibby and the rest of the staff to put him in a setup role?
Possibly. Last night, Chavez, obviously Storen, I think, has pitched himself out of that role at this time, and Chavez was still serving his suspension, so they were a little bit short last night. But I think it's possible that he's so out there that he's not afraid. He just doesn't care. He's just out there having a good time and living life in the Biagini galaxy.
Have you talked to him?
I've talked to him, and it's one of the stranger conversations I've ever had with a human being. It really is. So,
why? What did he do?
Let us in on it.
He's, the character he reminds me of? He reminds me of George McFly, of Marty McFly's dad from Back to the Future. He's just out there, but he's the happiest guy. He's one of the happiest baseball players I've ever seen in my life. I think he's just an incredibly relaxed, laid-back guy, and I love that they're starting to put him in higher-pressure situations because I don't think he's scared. You can see sometimes guys with a lot of major league experience sometimes get out there, and they're a little bit nervous in a tough spot. I don't think Biagini is like that. The thing about his arm is he's capable of going more than one inning. If you put him in a setup role, he kind of becomes a one-inning guy. But they need somebody to get important outs in the seventh and eighth innings. And I definitely think he should be under consideration.
Dan, we know that Brett Cecil is now out for a month with that lat injury. Do you think he was battling injuries all season? And has he completely recovered from that calf injury he suffered in the playoffs, too? Because he just doesn't look right.
Yeah, he doesn't look right. But his velocity was fine. As far as I remember, it was 91-92. And that's about what Brett Cecil is. So, sometimes an injury can manifest itself more in a lack of command than a lack of velocity. So, I believe there is something there if they're saying it's at least a month. Sometimes when a guy's not pitching well, they come up with a little something and he's back in 15 days, but he's not going to be back in 15 days. So there's something going on. In terms of whether that's the reason he wasn't pitching well, it's hard to say. Everybody I talked to before he went on the DL said they thought his pitch selection was poor, that he didn't trust himself, and he was, trying to trick hitters instead of just pitching to his strengths and doing what went well for him last year. I mean, only he and the medical staff know if that was the problem. But, with Cecil down, Loop down, Franklin Morales down, they're on the lefties 4 and 5 right now on the depth chart on the major league roster, and that's a tough way to win the way baseball's played these days.
It's been sad to watch, I think, for some of the letdowns that you're getting, and maybe it's age catching up with people or injuries, as you pointed out, with the bullpen. But, I mean, you're looking at guys that aren't fulfilling, the promise of why you brought them here. Troy Tulowitzki, he had a knock last night in the, I think it was in the 10th inning to win the game. In the 11th inning to win the game. And so he's coming out of it a little bit. His average is getting closer to starting with a 2 than a 1. But all of these things John Gibbons can't control, right? Like he can't make Troy Tulowitzki hit a fastball.
Right.
You can't fix injuries. So, unfortunately, he seems to be the one, when you talk about an agent of change, his name gets brought up more than most.
Gibbons, you mean?
Yeah.
It's possible. I mean, when a president and a new president and a new GM come in, the manager who's there usually doesn't last all that long. I mean, the new guys have an idea of who they want their guy to be, and it's not usually the guy who was there when they got there. I mean, that's as old as baseball itself, and that happens not just in baseball. That happens in all walks of life. So, unfortunately for Gibbons, unless they do really, really well, at some point it's likely that Shapiro and Atkins make a change. I don't think, there's been some talk that if they have a lousy weekend in Minnesota, maybe it happens this early. I don't think it's going going to happen this early, to be honest with you. But if they're struggling in July, I could maybe see it happening then. And I agree with you. It's not John Gibbons' fault. John Gibbons is the same manager he was last year when they won 93 games and got to Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. But I do think there's a chance it's going to happen, if for no other reason than there are new sheriffs in town, and sometimes they like to hire their own people.
Dan, Aaron Sanchez on the mound tonight, and we were talking about this earlier in the week. If the bullpen continues to struggle, are the Blue Jays going to pull the trigger on bringing Sanchez into the bullpen maybe sooner than they want to?
I think the only way they would do that is if they had a suitable replacement for the rotation. And as much as the bullpen has been, especially in the seventh and eighth innings, so disappointing, who are you going to give the ball to give you six or seven good innings? If Hutchison is pitching well, they could give that a try. I think it's probably going to happen by July anyways because of the pitch, the innings limit that we assume Aaron Sanchez is under. I'm sure it's tempting, and yeah, I'm sure it's been a conversation. I'm sure it's a possibility, but I think they're still probably looking to find guys who pitch better. You know, you look at Floyd's overall numbers, they're good, but he had one that cost him a game. Chavez's overall numbers have been good, but he's had two that have cost them games. You know, Cecil Storen obviously have been the biggest issues in the pen. I still think they try to go a few more weeks with what they have, moving the pieces around to see if they can find somebody to pitch well in that role. But at some point, I think Sanchez is going to be there this season.
You know, from one letdown in Toronto to one in New York, Mets ace, former ace now, Matt Harvey, struggling. Yeah. He got lit up again for seven last night in three innings, and his fastball isn't fast, and what is he now, 2-4 on the season? He's got an ERA close to six. What's going on with him?
I watched a good chunk of that game last night, actually. Well, for one thing, it's in his head. I mean, he talks about it openly. He says things like, I've thrown a baseball my whole life, and I don't feel comfortable throwing a baseball right now. His 96-97 is 93-94 right now. You know, he's in his second year removed from surgery. And he pitched a lot last year. And remember the whole thing with his agent, Scott Boras? And they, because the feedback was so negative about that, because the Mets were in the race, after they skipped him once in September, they pitched him in September, they go all the way to the World Series. He winds up throwing 230 innings last year. And I think it's possible just that his arm is not all the way back. And for a lot of guys like this, when you're a Harvey or a Strasburg or somebody, and you've never struggled on any level in your life, When the first time you ever struggle is in the major leagues, some of these guys aren't that well equipped to deal with it because they've never had those struggles before. I think he'll figure it out, but I'm not sure it's going to be this year. Whether it's a tired arm or there's something in there or just a lack of confidence right now, I think he might need a clean slate and another off season and, you know, another few months to strengthen his arm before he comes all the way back. He got some bad breaks last night. They made some bad plays behind him. But the 3-4 innings I watched, his stuff is pretty flat, and he was up and over the middle of the plate. And at 92, 93, 94, that stuff's going to get hit.
Who's the best pitcher in baseball right now, today?
Well, there are three possible answers: Kershaw, Arrieta, and Sale. And I don't know if Sale is where you were going, but
yeah, 9-0.
Yeah, Chris Sale, 9-0, 158. Excuse me, is ridiculous. And Arrieta and Kershaw have the advantage of pitching in the National League, which by and large is the easier league to pitch in. I know offense has been up there, but I still think it's the easier league to pitch in. Kershaw also has the advantage of pitching at Dodger Stadium, which is a phenomenal pitcher's park. Sale pitches in the American League in a good hitter's park. And he looks like you could break him in half if you tried, because he's so slim. But he's incredible. I still think I want to say Kershaw because he's been doing it for years. Arrieta's been doing it for a couple of years. Sale's been doing it pretty well for 4 or 5 years now. But if I'm handing when you've got the belt, somebody's got to take the belt away from you. And I don't think Kershaw's done enough to lose the belt. So I still think he's the best.
Okay, so that was my question. If you let's say you're playing a one game play in, and you got all three guys on your team, who do you take?
That's a good question. You know, Kershaw's not had success in October. If it's a one game, if you're saying game seven of the World Series or one game playoff, I'm throwing Madison Bumgarner's name into the conversation as well, because he's been incredible in October. It's hard to go wrong with any of these guys, really. I mean, we're in an age where we're looking at some pretty special pitchers. Bumgarner, coincidentally, is going to do the game that I have on Sunday, and he's just, like, he's great. I mean, the bigger the moment, the better he gets. The only missing thing on the resume of Clayton Kershaw is October dominance. And granted, that's a big thing. But I think that's coming in his career.
Last question. How important is Devin Travis to what the Blue Jays are trying to do? That second base has been a black hole offensively and defensively. You saw what Jimmy Paredes offers last night, too. He struggled. Devin went 3-for-4. How important is he if he can come back and be, you know, a decent semblance of what he was when he was here a year ago?
If he can come back and be close to what he was last year, he's really important. But I don't know that it's an automatic. I don't know it should be expected. The guy's hardly played in about a year. So my guess is he comes back and they phase him in there 2-3 days a week. They put him in there against lefties. And if he does well, then he starts seeing more righties and maybe eventually works his way up to everyday status. But I don't think that happens right off the bat. I think they've got to make sure he's healthy and sound and swinging the bat well. And then I think the job is wide open and it's a chance for him to reclaim it. And if he can do that, it can help, obviously. Then maybe then they stick him back up at the top of the order and they move some things around and it looks a little bit more like last year. But I don't think anybody should be just assuming that he's going to be every bit as good as he was last year.